Playing university-level soccer has given Sydney the understanding of the physical demands placed on her horses. This gives her an edge when it comes to taking care of them.
Hi, I'm Katie.
And I'm Kim.
Welcome to Equine Body Talks, a podcast about opening the conversation on equine wellness.
Join us as we dive deeper into the whole body approach for your equine performance horses. If you are from Alberta, you know about the Danes family. Rodeo is a tradition for this family going back to the 1960s, when the first pro rodeo ran at the Danes Family Ranch just outside of Innisfail, Alberta. It's a unique venue that draws competitors and spectators alike to the outdoor event each June.
Today we chat with Sydney Danes. Sydney is a very well-respected barrel racer in her own right, who has competed at all of the major rodeos in Canada. We talk about her family's tradition, her horses, her beliefs in all things related to equine bodywork from a client standpoint, and things a bodyworker can do to gain clients in the barrel racing world. Hey everybody, it's Katie and Kim back with you guys again. Today we have Sydney Danes. Sydney Danes is a multiple-time Canadian Finals Rodeo qualifier, Calgary Stampede qualifier, and has an endless list of credentials. She's a teaching student at the University of Alberta and played university-level soccer. So Sydney has a major understanding of what it takes to be an athlete and compete at the highest level, both mentally and physically. Alongside her mom, Cheryl, they've made some very nice horses. But they also know how to take care of them. I've seen them make decisions based on what's best for their horse, and I have a lot of respect for them for that.
Yeah, so we just wanted to say how much we appreciate you coming on today, Sydney, and thanks for joining us and sharing your story here. Can you start by just telling us a little bit more about your background?
Yeah, no, thanks for having me today. So I grew up around Innisfail. My family has, my grandpa started the Innisfail Pro Rodeo. So I was kind of born into rodeo, and my mom was also a barrel racer. So naturally, I wanted to be a barrel racer just like her, and that's how I grew up, just knowing rodeo from day one.
That's awesome. Nice to have that family history for sure.
Yeah, and you kind of answered the next question, but of why you chose barrel racing, but why do you love barrel racing?
Well, I think the main reason why I love barrel racing is when I was younger, my mom put me in pony club, and I had a pony, and I wanted to just run around and sprint and lope at a very high speed in pony club at that age. I think around 4 years old, you were just supposed to walk and trot.
And he's running past all the other kids.
So I think at that age, my mom knew, like, okay, no, I don't think she is going to be good at pony club. And I just love the speed of barrel racing and the fact that it's a horse race. It doesn't have to be pretty all the time, but it's got to beat the clock. So I think that's what I love about it.
Yeah. That's definitely something coming from I come from the cutting background and, you know, such a judged event. So there's definitely some things that would be really nice if it was more just about the clock that you're working against.
Yes, definitely.
And it sounds obviously then you've been involved in rodeo since the time you were really little. So this might be a harder question, but is there a favorite rodeo or a career highlight that really stands out for you?
Well, for sure, I think my favorite rodeo is Innisfail, just because my grandpa started that rodeo, and it's our hometown rodeo, so I have lots of family and friends that come out, and it's a great weekend spent just getting to hang out with everyone. It's usually, for me, that weekend, there's only one rodeo, so we're not traveling crazy, but for a career highlight, I would definitely say winning Wild Card Saturday at the Calgary Stampede.
Yeah.
That was one of my biggest highlights. It was probably the biggest stage I have been on. And again, Calgary is only an hour from my house, so it was kind of, in a way, a hometown rodeo as well, because those competitors are coming from Texas and Arizona, and there at the NFR, you're competing against them. So that was a very amazing day for me.
Yeah, that's a huge accomplishment.
Yeah, it was very exciting for us too, sitting at home watching you.
Yeah, so it was a great day.
Yeah. You're also still in post-secondary. You're finishing your teaching degree. So how has everything that's going on in the world affected your schooling?
Yeah, so for me, I was actually just starting my practicum in teaching. I was teaching grade 4 in Innisfail, and I got about 2 weeks in, and then they shut down the school. So they created, for us, since we are practicum students, we were considered students, so we weren't allowed to teach online or anything. So they did create a couple online courses for us to get our credits through the U of A.
Okay.
Yeah, so we did get our credits. And then actually I'm taking an online spring course right now, and everything has just been transferred online. I think with university, in my program anyways, it was pretty manageable because it's just a lot of article reading, and they're testing you and writing essays. But I think the biggest thing with teachers right now is, I know my mom, she's a grade 1 teacher, and she's really been struggling to try to teach online.
But I bet.
With Google Docs and Google Classroom, and that's been a big transition.
Yeah, for sure. Keeping grade one kids engaged online, I'm sure, is a real trick.
Yes, it is. So, I mean, it's been pretty good. It hasn't been bad for me. It's allowed me to stay home. I don't have to be in Edmonton, so I'm taking the positives out of it.
Mm-hmm. Good for you. There's always positives.
So that's been really nice. And, usually I'm never home this much or have this much downtime. So I'm going a little crazy. I don't know what to do with all this downtime, but it's nice. There's always stuff to do at the farm.
Yeah, no doubt. And going down that road, too, how has it affected this time off? Has it given you more time then with your horses? Are you doing any more breeding aspirations? What's been going on that way?
Basically, yes, it has given me more time with our colts, especially. So we've been just spending more time with them. But I've actually been getting into roping a little bit, team roping.
Oh, yeah.
So practicing that and just adjusting even some of our colts into team roping horses and doing a little more of that. And we're not breeding anything right now. We've kind of done the breeding thing in the past, and we don't have any mares as of right now, but we're just focusing on them at a competitive level right now. And
So I know you've taken your boyfriend Quentin's wrestling horses and made them into very nice barrel horses, so it's interesting that now you're taking your barrel horses and turning them into team roping horses.
Yes.
So can you tell us a little bit about who you're riding now, and do you have an all-time favorite horse?
Yes, so right now my main horse, his barn name is Houdini. His registered name is Houdini on Fire. He's an 8-year-old gelding, and we have had him now for 3 years, and he did good at the futurity level and the derby level, so this would have been the year for him to really prove himself as a rodeo horse coming out of the derby. But he's also a team roping horse as well, so Quentin has been heading on him, and I think he's a very nice team roping horse, so it's good for him to get his mind on the barrels and some team roping, so he's definitely not just bored about loping circles every day. And my all-time favorite horse, I would say, as of right now, is Flame. He was a very unique horse. He had a heart of gold for sure, and he'll probably be like no other horse I'll probably ever get like him. He was not normal. He was crazy fast. He could make mistakes and still win, which is very rare.
Yeah.
And his personality, I don't even know how to explain his personality. Katie has known Flame basically for a long time too, so I don't know if you can explain him better, but
he has a very kind personality, but he also will tell you where he's going and how he's going to do it.
Yes. So, but he just loved his job. He was all business. He was not a kid's horse at all, and I kind of got him as a teenager when he was about 5 or 6. And he was just business. I mean, he was terrified of cattle, like, from that could be 500 feet from him. He'd be spooking at them. But running down the alley at CFR at Northland, bulls would be jumping over the alleyway, and he wouldn't even look at them. So that's
funny.
Kind of an explanation of how he was, yeah.
Yeah. How was he bred?
So he is by Dash to Fame. And we actually had the mare, Reba, which she is by Jet of Honor. So,
yeah. So he likes to run.
Yeah.
Yes.
Good place for him to be in the barrel racing world. We've been talking a lot about conditioning. It's something obviously at Cooley Equine they take very seriously. And then as part of the equine programs I put together for my clients, it's a big key as to what we chat about often. So we're just wondering, what are some of the things that you have in your box of tools that you like to do to bring your horses back into a condition, or do you not give them downtime? What is your philosophy, and what do you do with that?
Well, here in Canada, I don't go down to Arizona in the winter or anything, or compete at the rodeos down there. So I think it's a little different down there. They kind of go hard all year. They might get a month off. Whereas up here, usually if around like October, November, I usually pick my horses out and bring them back in February.
Mm-hmm.
I just like to give them a break and time off because the summer can be very busy. So usually when I do bring them back, again, it depends on the weather here in February. It can be very awful.
Yes.
So I usually will start them off, I'll send them to Katie at Cooley, and she'll start them off in the pool for a little bit just to build their air and their muscle back. And then once I bring them back to my house, I usually like to start to build their air now that they've had their muscles and kind of some of their fat off of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of believe in just coming from an athlete background, what we did in soccer, we did a lot of HIIT training. Mm-hmm. And looking from the perspective that this is a quarter horse, they can only run for short distance versus a thoroughbred, I like to build their air usually by doing 20 seconds at maybe a sprint or a fast slope, and then a 10-second trot, and then do that again for like 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Just to build it up and bring the airway back down. And that's how I usually bring them back. And just in the field, I go ride in the field and do that. And then if I know they're ready to go, we go to a couple jackpots and see how they compete against the other horses.
Right. And when they're kicked out for the winter, are they on a big pasture type of thing? Or what is their environment like that keeps them kind of moving on their own through that downtime?
Yeah, so we have them on, I wouldn't say like a massive pasture, but it's definitely larger. They're not on around, like our, like Houdini, our main horses that we're focusing on, they're not on a round bale. We feed them morning and night, a couple flakes in the morning, a couple flakes at night. They still usually might get one scoop of oats a day, maybe two.
Mm-hmm.
And we still bring them in. They have blankets. We like them to go out and paw, though, if they can, once the grass kind of starts to come up through the snow a little bit.
Yeah.
To be like a horse. But we don't, and especially, it all depends on, I think, your horse, too. Houdini, if you gave him a week on full feed, he would just balloon up like crazy. Whereas if Blaine, he could be in shape in 2 weeks. Like,
right.
He's not a big eater, but he also has a little bit more thoroughbred blood in him, so So he's just a more racier horse compared to Houdini's, a little more cowbred. And not to say that cowbred horses are always as eat as much, but just in his case, we have to be very careful with how much we let him eat.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah. Houdini's a big boy. He needs lots of food.
Yes.
Oh, so I think that's awesome. I know you guys have a really good program and you stick to a good routine with them too.
Yes, and I think for us too, like, hay is so important to us, having good quality like alfalfa and mixing it with grass hay is really important. I think it even just, it shines up their coat, it makes them shed faster, having them a little bit on alfalfa and, yeah, and just a little bit of oats every day, again, it depends on your horse, all that kind of stuff, but I really believe in a good hay makes the horse how they look.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is a tricky one. I know sometimes people, it's a hard one to answer because it's constantly changing, but I know lots of people like feedback on products. So what products are you using? Like, what therapy products are you using right now for your horses that you like using and notice pre or post competition that keep your horses feeling great?
Yeah, so I know, like, there's so many products out there, and it's crazy. It can almost be overwhelming of how much stuff you can end up buying and feeling and trying to try them all out. I always say, again, do what works best for you, what works for your horse. For me, when I, so for pre-competition, usually I like just a good horse rub, but Cooley Equine sells it. It's kind of like for humans, A535. If you don't know what that is, it's basically like a tiger balm rub, and it just gets your muscles warm. It's kind of like when you go in for massage. It just moves their muscles around, makes them feel better. And I like to keep, like, if it's a colder day here, I maybe put a back on track on them, put back on track boots on just to keep their legs warm. If it's, let's say, a really hot day and you're in Medicine Hat, and I maybe give them a little bit of electrolyte. My biggest thing, though, I guess, and I don't know if this is under products all the way, but I always, when I'm on the road, use Gastroguard for Ulster. I always use that, even if we're traveling for a week and we're only competing 3 days out of the 5 days that we're gone, I will still give them Gastroguard all 5 of those days, just because you're on the road, the horses, you're traveling, their stomachs are very finicky, and that's just what I believe in. It works best for me. For post-competition, I guess the big thing is I always believe in ice or cold water. It's as simple as that for me. And walking your horse out, and then putting leg wraps on. Like, I always just try to keep those legs as tight as possible. And I think that is the simplest one for me after competing, is just walking your horse in that cold water. I mean, it's usually free. There's a hose around, there's water. It's right after competition. And that's what I have used. Another thing, too, and products are always changing, that we used to use Bentel Pullman all the time before we ran them to open their airways. But now we use puffers.
Oh.
So it's interesting how it's changed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Over the time. So that's what we're using now. So we might be using one product at a time, and then a year later or 2 years later, we're using something else, something more advanced maybe has come along, or it's just worked better for that horse. So
yeah, it's important to stay on top of what's new out there for sure too.
But what exactly are the puffers? I guess I've actually never really heard of those.
So the puffers, I don't know the exact name. They're like a really long doctor name.
It's just like giving your horse an inhaler, or like how you give a kid an inhaler. It's the exact same thing though, right, Sydney?
Yes, it is. It's basically, it is a human puffer. You can get it, we get it from our vet, but you can get a prescription and you could get it yourself at any pharmacy. And basically then you just have to buy the horse puffer itself to put it against their nose.
Oh, is it like the nebulizer?
It's similar in a way, but it's more of a, I would say, a drug
okay.
in a way.
Okay.
So it's
similar look, though. Like, it goes on their nostril, and you push the inhaler, and they inhale the medicine, I guess.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, so there's, like, a blue one that we use that usually you give it to them before you haul them. And so, because there's so much dust in your trailer, mm-hmm. unless, like, brand new trailer, but it's crazy how much dust can be back there. So yeah. it helps just with that, with hauling. And then you give one 10 minutes before you run, and it's supposed to open their airways, allow more oxygen for them to breathe. And, yeah.
No, that's awesome.
Yeah.
And it, are there any other kind of therapies that you use on your horses other than the products that you've mentioned and the fact you obviously as well go to Cooley for your conditioning and other needs? But is there any massage, body work, chiropractics, what vet care, that kind of stuff? What do you use with your horses primarily?
Yes, so we have used massage therapy, and we have done that where he comes in and works on our horses. Usually we try to get him like once a month. He'll come in and work on our horses, and they just love it. It's amazing to see what they do.
Mm-hmm.
And we have got chiropractic in the past, and it was actually through a vet who did the chiropractic.
Yes.
And, yeah, and then, of course, we've taken them to Cooley, and we've done all the equiscope, the infrared heat, the taping, so, and I've tried to do some of the taping, too, when I'm on the road. Katie has shown me some ways how to do it. I'm still not as good as her, but I can't take her on the road with me, so.
Yeah, one day.
Yeah,
there you go.
And two, also the saltwater spa, one thing like I kind of said before, how I believe so much in the cold water and that.
Yeah.
But it's amazing how much the saltwater spa, I'll take my horses there and I'll bring them back home. And I'm about 20 minutes from Cooley. And for about 3 hours after, their legs are still cold.
Oh.
Like I can go and feel their legs and how cold they are compared to like a hose, or even I've had ice boots, and they might stay cold for an hour if I'm lucky,
mm-hmm.
but there, it's amazing how long their legs will stay cold for.
Right, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's awesome. But you mentioned this a little bit before, but you do get some body work done on your horses?
Yes, I do.
Now, do you do it on, like, how kind of schedule would you have them on for that?
So usually I get them done once every month. Again, it depends on how busy the month is.
Mm-hmm.
If we're in June, July, and August, maybe I'll get them done once every 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's hard to plan. Like, you have to be very organized because you're on the road so much and you have to plan their schedule too. And they have to work with you, and you have to try to work with them and meet up depending on locations. And sometimes they'll meet you at the rodeo, and they might do other rail racing horses too. So then that usually works out great if you can line up a couple girls with them. But yeah, I usually try to do it if we're very busy, once every 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I always find too, horses like, with their body muscle, like, while on the road, it's hard to tell when they're, because they might not be physically sore, but just their muscles, they don't look sore, but you know they need something.
Mm-hmm.
And so I find I just have to put it in my calendar, to make sure that that keeps happening, because it's not like a wound or something that they're sore on. It's just muscle soreness, but a horse doesn't show it all the time until usually a body worker goes in there and feels it, right?
So, yeah. Are there any subtle things that you feel you can, feel when you're riding, though, like a shorter stride or just cranky attitude or anything? Like, why do you choose to get body work done specifically on your horses?
Yeah, so I can definitely feel sometimes in a run. I know when I was running Blaine, before he would go into the alley, he would kind of always turn his head and bite the gate.
Mm-hmm.
And so I knew if he started doing that, he would be sore in some way.
Yeah.
So that was an indicator for me that I have to do something for him. And then I would usually get him worked on, and then he would be good. He wouldn't bite that gate coming into the alley.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And
what a way to listen to your horse, though. Good for you.
Yeah. Whereas Houdini's a little more, he's harder to tell a little bit. Like, again, he's got a big heart and he'll go in and try every time. But I think in the barrel racing world, if, let's say, they're running 1 week at a certain time and the next week they've dropped a bit, maybe one reason is they're sore, right? So
yeah.
Your timing in the barrel race can change it, too. Like, you can determine that, how fast they're running.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what are some qualities you look for in a body worker before you would call them to come work on your horses?
So some qualities I would look at, I guess, is professionalism. And if someone has some recommendations. And I really want to know, I guess, their educational background.
Mm-hmm. That's key.
How much education they have received, and that's, I think, my biggest thing, and making sure that we can make it work together, right? It's sometimes, like I said, on the road, you're trying to make it work with them. Are you willing to drive to them? Are they willing to meet you halfway? And, yeah.
I guess that kind of leads into a little bit. Our next question is just, and this is in a lot of ways for the younger, or maybe not so much young, cause some of us aren't that young, but the newer body workers that are coming into the field, if they're looking to get into a clientele list like yourself at a higher level, what are some of the things they can do then to get that second call back? Like you'd mentioned, the professionalism and the willingness to accommodate. But is there any other specifics that you would say for some of the younger people coming in?
Yeah, for sure. I guess just if you're just starting out, right, you're trying to make a name for yourself. So I think you have to put yourself out there and willing to drive to places. And obviously COVID now has affected stuff, but
yeah.
If life hopefully does go back to normal, I mean, the barrel races out there, if you show up and put a stand up and there could be a jackpot of 300 girls, I'm sure you will get some clients in there wanting their horse done, right? You're there, they're there for, like, the time, and you're getting more experience working on more horses.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a great thing, and making yourself visible through social media and seeing what horses you've worked on and seeing the difference. And I think the big thing is just putting yourself out there and going to work on other horses and, yeah, just making a name for yourself.
Yeah, those are super valid. Yeah.
Yeah, and I know we touched on this a little bit before too, but what are your thoughts on nutrition?
So I think it's very important. Again, I think it all changes depending on your horse. Blaine, he was a very picky eater. We had to be careful what we fed him. He was an interesting horse because every for 2 years in a row on the same day he tied up on us in the spring.
Yeah.
And it was just because of the sugars we were feeding him. We were feeding him up kind of ready to go to rodeos, and we weren't exercising him at a high enough rate for how much sugars he was intaking. So I think, and we learned that and how much we have to give him. We weren't allowed to give him just whole oats, and we couldn't give him like really trimethoxazone. We couldn't give him because it was too sugary. Whereas Houdini, we have to be careful that we don't give him very much high in fat feed.
Yeah.
Because he will, again, just balloon up like crazy. And we have to be careful. So he's actually better on whole oats because there's not very much fat in it, but there is a lot of sugar.
Yeah.
So it's, I think, again, just knowing your horse and what they need and what they don't need is very important.
Yeah, that's such a key point. I think you hit the nail on the head with that when you talk about how it's so individual, and just understanding what your horse's basic needs are, and then understanding what's in the feed too. Just, you know, so many people don't understand what the sugar content is in the feed at all. So,
And it takes a process too, right? It's kind of like you have to, we had to learn it, right? Like it didn't just happen overnight. It was error and trial and
The basics are there with your good hay, like you mentioned earlier, and good water. And then from there, you have to figure it out for sure individually. And we obviously have on this podcast really taken the approach, and in our own businesses, about working as a team or part of a team with other equine professionals, including farriers and veterinarians. What are your thoughts on the maintenance work that it takes or may take to bring a horse to the level of competition that you work at? And, you know, is I guess even with a farrier as well, you know, is there some key points that you would pick out in terms of those team members that you really need to establish a good relationship with them, and what kind of things you do with them?
Yeah, for sure. I definitely think at that high level, you need a support team. I've listened to some of the NFR girls, and they've had their farrier and vet with them, and like massage therapy body workers down there at NFR with them the whole 10 days. And I think it's so important that you have a good farrier. I mean, feet on a horse that can make or break you, right? If you get a hot nail or if they trim too short, it can affect your horse for a whole month.
Yeah.
Also, it depends how they stand and what type of ground you're going to run in. I know when we ran at Calgary, we had to put, we twisted a nail in Flame's shoe because the ground was so hard, we needed more leverage. And so just changing that with the farrier, like, I think is very important at that level.
Yeah.
And also your vet is, I think, very important. Our vet has definitely helped us throughout the years. He was up there at the Canadian Finals with us, and he helped Flame in tremendous ways. And he had a very good quote that was, it was not run, we gave Flame basically like vitamins and basically like Gatorade and sugars just to keep him hydrated. And we weren't doing it for run one and two and three, but it was to keep going through run four, five, and six. And Flame, our first year, he ran the fastest time out of the week on night number six.
Oh.
So it was just pretty crazy to see how he did that with Flame, and he knew what to do.
Yeah.
And other examples, Flame's mom, she is We've had her since she was 2 years old, and she went through the fraternities and placed with me at high school rodeos, and she won a couple of pro rodeos. And then we actually sold her, and the girls that were competing on her, they were placing at the amateur level, at the ladies level, and winning the high school rodeo and barrel racing. And she was 20 years old, and now she's 24 and still competing.
Wow, that's awesome to hear.
So I think it's just, and we've done maintenance with her since day one, and we've just taken really good care of her, and we passed that on to those people who bought her, and they've done the same as us, and they've kept her, and she's still running at 24 years old. I mean, she's nowhere near the level she was, but she's still running healthy and happy, and her coat looks amazing, and
yeah, for sure. Do you have any other keys to your success thus far?
I think it's always just putting your horse first, above you, and making sure that, yeah, your horse is number one, and I think as a rider, you're going to be number two.
Yeah, like I said in kind of in the opening, I know you guys have made decisions in the past. You showed up to a rodeo, and something hasn't felt right, and so you've actually turned out and drove home just to make sure that your horse was going to be okay.
Yeah, we've drove 4 or 5 hours somewhere, and we've just turned out just because the ground condition wasn't great, and also, too, up here, the rain really affects what you do up here. If someone runs in the dry and then it just downpours the next day, you're not really, not to say all the time, but usually you're not going to have a shot if they ran in the dry, so I'm not going to put my horse in that situation where they're going to run just to run.
Right.
So I always run on them. I think you only have a certain amount of runs on them. And you can even see Haley Kinsel do the same thing. Like, she doesn't run sister at every rodeo or even at the NFR. She gave her horse TJ. She's just showing that she knows she only got a certain amount of runs on sister. So,
yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I think that's awesome. Well, thank you very much, Sydney. Really enjoyed, thanks for taking the time to chat with us today.
Yeah, no, thank you so much for having me.
No, we appreciate it. Thanks.
We'd love to have you subscribe to our podcast and get all the new episodes.
Please rate, review, and share with your friends so we can grow and bring you topics you're most interested in.
Contact us through our website or on social media with your engagement.
Barrel racing is a very physical time event where the horses are asked to work hard. The horses are sometimes up on multiple runs in 1 week to try and earn money to make finals and qualify for bigger events. I have so much respect for Sydney and the care she takes of her horses.
As body workers, we recognize that this is a sport that requires short bursts of energy, a lot of strength, cardio, and mental awareness. The rodeo world sees competitors on the road a lot throughout the season, putting miles on both horses and vehicles, and running in various arenas and footings. This all can lead to horses that come up with soreness and fatigue issues, something that we as body workers can notice in the tissues of our barrel racing clients.
So we love it when we hear from people who are really embracing the concept of having a team of professionals supporting their equine athlete. Just like in any horse sport, it's important to stay on top of their health and fitness, but perhaps even more so when you add in all the scenarios just mentioned.
Thanks for joining us today.
Reach out to our social media pages for more information on today's episodes and lots of extras.